This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. I told you last weekend about a terrific idea I had heard about, one of those things that made me put my hand to my head and go, oh, why didn't I think of that? That is a million or perhaps billion dollar idea. It's the idea of taking the roads in this country and turning them, essentially, into solar power generators and letting the sun also control all the things that are on that road, whether it's the lane markings or the signs or all the rest of it. This is the brainchild of Scott and Julie Broussard, who have started a company called Solar Roadways. And Scott is here now to talk about it. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. You started an online funding thing, an indie funding thing to get this going, and you've already got, what, like $2 million people have chipped in?
We're getting close.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Tell me how this would work.
Well, we've got, I can just go back, this all really started back when Julie and I were 3 and 4 years old. That's when we met in Southern California, and her mom used to babysit me, and my favorite toy back then was a slot car track, you know, a little electric track with electric cars.
Yep.
And I had a brainstorm, like, at 6 years old, that if we could make railroads electric, then kids could drive and relieve our parents of that awesome responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me my whole life. I've even got drawings from middle school and high school of what an electric road would look like, and I'd never even heard of a solar cell at the time. And years later, I had my electrical engineering degrees, but I had no further reason to make an electric road. And then about 10 years ago, when Al Gore's movie came out and we started seeing terms like global warming ease into the nightly news, Julie turned to me and said, can't you make your electric roads out of solar panels? And I said, no, kind of laughed. I said, you can't even step on those, let alone drive on them. They're fragile, and she just dropped it. But the seed was planted, and I started thinking about that if I could make some kind of structurally engineered case to protect the solar cells, you know, from 18-wheelers, and this just might work. And we started thinking about, like, a black box in an airplane. That's what that is, a structurally engineered case that protects sensitive recording equipment, and it can survive the worst of airline disasters. So we started thinking, well, ours is going to have a clear surface to let the sunlight through the solar cells, and I didn't know what that would be. I originally was thinking something like a hard or high-impact plastic, but we were told the plastic yellows under the sun at a rate of about 10% per year, so it wouldn't last long, and it scratches easily. So I looked up the top two materials research labs in the nation. They were Penn State University and the University of Dayton at the time, and I visited both, and they both told me without hesitation, use glass. And I gave them the same skeptical look that I get when I say we're making glass roads. And they said, yeah, I know, you're thinking of window glass, but don't think of window glass. Think of bulletproof glass. Think of bomb-resistant glass. When you talk to glass guys, they talk in formulas. I said, we can tweak a formula and lay it down. It'll take anything an 18-wheeler can do to it.
Wow.
So we knew we could do it, because if you think of what we have in here, we've got heating elements to keep, we're heating the glass, basically, to prevent snow and ice accumulation. Well, think of the rear window of your car. That technology has been around for decades.
Mm-hmm.
We've got LEDs to paint the road marker or road lines from within the panels. And a microprocessor to drop them. The microprocessors act like wireless communication devices. Well, that kind of technology has been around for decades. The only thing we haven't done is drive on glass, so that was a big challenge. If we could make that work, we knew we had a product. And so the number one question we got in the beginning was, you know, the first time it rains, we'll all just slide off the road. With a smooth surface, that would be true. But so we needed to make a texture that would stop cars going 80 miles an hour on a wet surface. And we found some sidewalk glass in New York City. If you look in front of Madison Square Garden, they've got a scrolling marquee that you walk on. And it's made out of glass. And there's a texture on that glass. And that texture has to be approved by the Americans with Disabilities Act so people don't slip and break their hips the first time it rains.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a piece of that glass. We sent it to a civil engineering traction testing facility. And they tested it. And they said they do this with a British pendulum and test the rubber boot. And they release it and it hits the surface and it skids to a stop. And they measure that distance as your coefficient of friction. They said this. I said, well, what would happen if a car tried to stop on this if it was wet? And they said, well, this would stop a car going 40 miles an hour on a wet surface in the required amount of distance. But all right, you know, that would be good for sidewalks and bike paths and driveways and maybe parking lots, but what we really want is a highway. So we kept beefing up our texture more and more until he finally called me. I was sending sample after sample and having them test and just getting the numbers up. And he finally called me and said, you got to stop. You just ripped the boot off our machine. So we backed off a little bit. We have a texture now. That's what you see in the video. And I asked him, what will this do? And he said, on a wet surface, that would stop a vehicle going 80 miles an hour in the required distance. I said, perfect. That's our highway glass. And we have actually two versions because people look at that and say, I don't want to walk on that. Well, you wouldn't walk on the highway. We also have the other version, which is your sidewalk and bike path.
Mm-hmm.
That's the smoother one. So then we had, that was the traction testing. And then we thought we had to have what's called load testing, where they actually apply a weight to it until it breaks to see how much it can handle. So I had to pack off $13,000 with this beautiful glass and take it to a civil engineering shop to let them break it. And they sent me back the pictures of the broken glass, and they were amazed that glass could do this. They said, this surface will handle a 250,000-pound vehicle, which is three times more than the national legal load limit on a semi-truck. So it passed the load testing, and then we had what's called impact resistance testing, because what happens if I walk out of Home Depot with an 8-pound sledgehammer and actually drop it
yeah.
on a glass surface? And they do this with 1-pound steel balls. They're actually 0.922 pounds. And these civil engineers had never tested glass before. They test asphalt and concrete the same way. They'd dropped these balls from varying heights, so he was nervous about the glass. He started off at 4 inches. He dropped it, nothing. 6 inches, nothing. He called me later that afternoon. He says, my ceiling's only 8.5 feet tall. We can't do any real damage here, so we're going to take it outside. And he had to get permission from the university to drop steel balls off a balcony. He said that was like pulling teeth. But anyways, all of our testing results came back far superior than what I'd even hoped for. So now what we've got is we've got a prototype parking lot, which is really 108 prototype solar road panels.
And it can handle the load of the cars on it. And,
oh, yeah.
So let me get back to the features of the road. Once you put it out there and it's got the solar panels in it, is it saving power? Is it directly powering other devices? What is
currently the way our prototype works here is we're using virtual storage, which means we don't have a battery bank. We can install one. It's just a standard way you use rooftop solar. But what we did is we had our utility company come out and put one of the reversible meters in on our property. So we have, you have a shading problem with solar panels. And if we strung them all in series like you do on your roof, then the first time you parked a car on it, it'd be turned off. So we use what's called microinverters. We have only a few of the, a handful of the, we're currently using 4 panels at once going into 1 microinverter. So as long as, you can park a car on it and all the other ones are still working. But that microinverter turns the DC energy that solar panels produce, it turns into 240 volts AC, which then goes into my load center in this building, which means I'm using it.
Okay, but what if that parking lot gets full of cars?
You still got, if you look on our frequently asked question page, or just next time you're in a full parking lot, look around, about 50% of the asphalt is still uncovered.
And so you'd still be drawing power.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Since you started this project and have gotten some crowdfunding online, have you gotten any calls from any towns or cities in America who said, we want to put this down?
We've got a lot of those calls.
Yeah.
In fact, our own city of Sandpoint, that's about 30 minutes from here, that's where we're going to set up shop. They already have, it's a tourist town and it's a four-season resort, so they count on tourism. And they already understand, we've got people all over the world calling us and saying, if you, on your prototype parking lot, if you have an open house, please tell me I'm going to fly there just to say I walked on the first one. Well, the city of Sandpoint is already, they're planning to build a visitor center. They've already got a parking lot cleared. They want us to put our technology in there, and they're going to build a building. Right now they just have a kiosk, but they're going to put a welcome center. They're also going to do their downtown sidewalks, a sort of a frontier-type town with shops on both sides and the sidewalks. They're going to do some downtown sidewalks. Amtrak wants to do the Sandpoint train station pedestrian platform. Sandpoint Airport, just a little tiny airport, airplane-type airport, they got 25 acres of tarmac they want to outfit. So with this Indiegogo funding, I'm going to hire a team of engineers. I'm an electrical engineer, not a road builder, so I need a structural engineer, a mechanical engineer, a civil engineer, materials engineer, industrial engineer to help us manufacture this. Get all these guys together, and hopefully by this year's end, we will be done and have a product. And we can manufacture through the winter for these first applications and start installing when the snow melts in the spring.
And how expensive is it going to be for anybody who wants to dig up the asphalt?
You don't have to dig it up. We can retrofit it right on top. We talked to the Federal Highway Administration about this when we first began, when it was just an idea, and they said, what you're really talking about is putting a protective electric blanket over our roads, and if you do that, they'll last forever. So that would, the old road would actually become the base.
What's the cost going to be?
We don't know yet. I'm wrapping up my Phase 2 funding from the Federal Highway Administration, and that's due July 15th. At that time, I will have all the cost analysis on the prototype. But that's in part quantities of one, and there's a lot of waste in prototyping. that won't really tell us much, but I will have my list of final parts, and then I can contact the people who sold me these parts in individual quantities and say, all right, now, well, how much are they going to be if I order 100,000 or 500,000 of these units? And that makes the cost plummet, and we'll have that later this fall.
Is the cost question even a valid one? Are you going to figure out a way for the solar roadways to pay for themselves?
That is the idea behind it, because that's how we got our funding from the Federal Highway Administration. They can't keep up. All state DOTs are broke, and the Federal Highway Fund is broke. We can't continue building and maintaining the roads the way we've done it for the past 100 years. So they came out with a solicitation back in 2009 for some kind of new paving material that could pay for itself over its lifespan. That's what we're doing. And people want to compare, you know, well, how does a solar roadway compare to an asphalt road? Well, other than a hard, flat surface, it doesn't. If you want an apples to apples, you have to, this is an apples to fruit basket comparison, but you'd have to take your asphalt road, throw in a power generation facility, throw in a distribution network for the power, throw in snow removal, pothole repair, line painting, everything that comes with that road to make it even comparable to a solar road.
Plus, you can even put down things in LEDs on the road, warning of this lane closed ahead, that sort of stuff, without having to drag out a lot of other equipment.
That's right. And think about that. If somebody has a car accident or they just pulled over, usually your policeman shows up and sets flares and directs traffic. He can have a handheld device. First responders could have this, where you could just start flashing all the red LEDs in the road so people know something's wrong up ahead and reroute the lanes around the problem. If, for instance, a care flight is needed, they could actually push a button and paint a helicopter pad right on the highway.
Wow. Wow.
It's that versatile.
What about electric vehicles on the road? Any way for them to draw power from?
Well, it's an electric road, so you can put your charging stations anywhere. For instance, the Idaho Transportation Department wants to retrofit their rest areas. If every state did that, you could drive your EV from California to Florida, no problem. We're also talking to three different companies that make mutual induction technology for EVs. And what that means is you got two plates, and if you think of one as a receiver you mount underneath the car, the other being the transmitter, they can currently dig a hole in the asphalt and drop this transmitter in the asphalt and try to get a power cable to it. It's not very practical, but it works. And as your vehicle goes over it, it charges your battery. They realize that they have that technology. They've tested it at 75 miles an hour. They see that we have the delivery system. Our road makes it easy.
Who owns the electricity?
That's a good question. If you're a homeowner, you do. If you're, like, for instance, if you do your driveway or your patio, you own electricity. If you're a business and you buy the parking lot, you own it. Now, when roads are a little trickier, because roads can be owned by, they can be privately owned, they can be owned by the city, the township, the county, the state, the federal. It's a little different there.
Mm-hmm. Lots of questions, but amazing technology moving forward, and I hope it proceeds because, you know, if we could turn this into a solar power generator that goes from coast to coast on every east-west interstate and every north-south interstate, forget about the local roads. You just do those, Scott.
I know.
First of all, you're a wealthy man. Second of all, we're saving a lot of power and money in this country.
We are, and it's putting everybody back to work. It's like the New Deal of the 21st century.
Congratulations. I hope it moves forward quickly. I will keep myself posted via your website, solarroadways.com, about what you're doing, and I'll invite people to go there and check out the videos and the FAQs and all the rest. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
All right. Thank you.
Scott Broussard, one of the inventors of solar roadways, along with his wife, Julie. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.